You know, as we get ready to jump in, we're going to be in the book of Acts, and I'm going to jump in just a second as I warn you what I call to be the devil's favorite word. But I have a gift for the seniors. I bought y'all a car. And so really, as I get my little cars and stuff out here, a Hot Wheels car, obviously, you know, you're not made of money. But anyhow, and actually, Kevin, are you still here? Can you give one of these to each of the seniors? And then I'll tell them why I'm giving them such an odd gift as they are here. You know what I was thinking about this as he gives you one of those cards? Because I like little souvenirs. I like little trinkets and different things from different places. I was in the rental car that I got when I was in Fort Lauderdale. I didn't realize how crowded it would be at the airport. I told my wife, if you're looking for the humans, they're all here in South Florida. And I remember as I was getting off the airport and I was driving my rental, and then the rental car, the check engine light came on my rental car. Now, as the check engine light came on, I don't care, you know? If it breaks down, I don't really, you know, they're going to have to give me a new one anyway. But I have a Honda Odyssey. Judge me now. You know, as I have my Odyssey in my minivan. Oh, there's one left. Cool. Can I have it for illustration's sake? Thank you so much. Now, as far as when I had my Honda Odyssey, now I remember the check engine light going on that. And when that check engine light, oh man, my heart sinks. It feels terrible because I don't know what it is and how much it's going to cost. The reason I'm giving you this car is I want you to think about this. Is for a while, to being concerned about your spiritual life in some ways was a rental car. I know some of your parents are here, and so if you woke up one morning and say you don't feel like going to church, they're just going to slap you upside the head, and you're going to church anyway. You realize that. And so for some of you, in a way, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's almost like a rinsing relationship, like as far as your spiritual life, because even if you kind of throw it in neutral, there's somebody to kind of advance you here along the way. And I want you to have an ownership mentality of your spiritual life. Like, almost like, you know, the check engine light comes on as far as in a rental car set situation, and we're mildly concerned. I just need it to get me just a couple more miles, get me back to the airport, and I am fine. I hope that you'll take your spiritual life now, and I hope that you own it. I hope it becomes you. You know, as far as that song, I love that song about being faithful to the end. I pray to God that whatever exactly the direction he points you toward, that you'll go with all of your mind. And this little car that you have, you know, just inside of your mind, think about the matter of possession and owning your spiritual life. I'm going to give a challenge to all, but especially to you guys here in Acts chapter number, I didn't tell you, chapter number 23. Oh, y'all, 24. There it is. 24. We're going to look at a story here as I have a fetish with words. I really like studying words. And as I study words, I often think to myself, what exactly is God's favorite word? And I think to myself, obviously, the word redeemed comes to mind. If God, I mean, I know there's no way for us to prove, I'm just wondering, the word holy or whatever it is, I think of what God's favorite word. But I have a pretty strong case because I think I know what the devil's favorite word possibly could be. I have no statistic or anything like that to back it up. But I want to warn you of this word, and I want to warn you all of this mentality that I pray to God does not become commonplace inside of your life. The reason why I think it's the Satan's favorite word is because no matter what you say in front of it, if you add this word to it, then everything before is now absolutely null and void. Now, it can be the greatest of aspirations, and it can be the greatest of desires. And I wanted that be that you're inside of your heart, that you leave a mentality. I believe the devil's favorite word is tomorrow. You see, I'm going to be a good dad, and I'm going to spend more time with my kids tomorrow. I'm really going to get my spiritual life in check. I'm going to get focused about where God wants me to be tomorrow. You see, it doesn't really matter what incredible decision you place in front of that word. It is immediately brought to a screeching halt. I want you to warn you against a tomorrow mentality. In Acts chapter number 24, during this challenge, it says in verse 23, beginning reading there, A lot of background. I'm going to quickly give it to you. The Bible says, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, the end of the book of Acts a lot of times is a courtroom drama. You got to understand who the individuals here are now. Felix landed this job that he has because of a brother he had inside of the upper echelon of what's going on. Drusilla, you might know her a little bit because it was her dad, Herod Agrippa, that had James killed and then also tried to have Peter killed as well. But obviously, God released him from prison. Her auntie, you might know as well, was Herodias, the lady that killed John the Baptist and had that part of what was taking place there. So you look at a group of these two, this couple here coming in is not necessarily the power couple that has an appreciation for the things of God. Now, Paul comes in, they're going to listen to his case. And verse number 25, you look at Paul and it says this, "And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." What does Paul do? I mean, you would think he's going to be laying out his case, but my goodness, he's preaching to them. I mean, it's kind of hard. I don't know how long it was, 5 minutes, if it was like, you know, however long it was. He was getting them under so much conviction that Felix was met with a decision. He had a crisis point in his life where he realized what he knew to do inside of his heart. He understood this is what the right path would be. And as Paul is reasoning, Felix trembles and he answers, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You see that this time he was hoping for a bribe and different things. And during the entire stay, he never then heeds what the message was during this point. I want you to avoid a tomorrow mentality. I'm going to pray real quick and then we'll look at this a little bit more in depth. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Bible. Thank you for truth. Well, I think in a land of so many lies and things that are so like perverse, so I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'd empty me of myself and fill me with thy spirit to say what you'd have me to say. Lord, I don't know the needs intricately of these young people. Lord, I'm just going to go with you laid upon my heart. I pray, Lord, that you just help these young people, Lord, not live in this tomorrow mentality type mindset. But Lord, I pray whatever it is they'll pursue with all of their being. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to be here in this presence. Use your word. In Christ, let me certainly pray it all. Amen and amen. Now, when faced with different things as far as a tomorrow mentality, some people might think, "Oh, Adrian, you're going to talk about procrastination for a few minutes. You're going to talk about how it is that we need to get a big planner or you know, we're going to leave here and I want you to go to Office Depot and get you one of them fancy calendars, or I want you to download an app, you know, one of the pricey apps and download one of them because keep your life all organized." And even though that's fine and keep your life organized, I wanted to see it happens at the root of what causes a tomorrow type mentality. When you find Felix in this case, why did he push off a decision? Number one, he did it out of fear. Out of fear inside of his heart where he realized that, "Man, this decision I make right now, this decision that I know I should make, this is because of his fear. There's no planner that fixes that. There's no app then that changes that situation." That's why as all of these, the adults inside this room, I pray it's not just a situation that we're just saying. We will pray for the young people as they get ready to enter into a new stage of life. But as we pray for them, pray that God give them the boldness to do and stand for that which is right. This is a very much a direct plea, not only for them, but for those who watch these young people as well. You know, you see also then he's trembled and he answered. And what did he say? "Go thy way for this time." know, much can be said about this phrase because the literal translation, it doesn't make quite sense. It's kind of a strange is go thy way for this time. It's translated holding the now. It has the idea of like stalling, like you're given a situation. You're given the opportunity to handle something. And it's like instead of doing anything with your now, you hold on to the now. I know that seems kind of strange, but it's like it almost gives me the satisfaction that I'm doing something when I'm not doing anything at all during this time. So it's almost like as Felix, if anybody's knocked on doors, you're familiar with this phrase where a person's like, oh, that's really nice. I appreciate that. We'll have to check you out, you know, check out your church, you know, what are they saying? You know, go away. And this is my wonderful way of landing the plane for you to back away, right? And as you look at this statement here, he's trying then to move past the decision then of what exactly he's supposed to do. That's why, okay, I kind of talked to here. Let me go back here really quickly. I hope that you have a steadfast mind of what God has wants you to do and going after it. You know, our family, we travel a lot. And as we do, we go to a lot of drive-thrus. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but this one, very entertaining to watch people order their food at a drive-thru. You know, they kind of pull up, and sometimes as I'm pulling up, I can see like their faces as they're ordering. And it's just kind of like, whew, like this is intense when they're ordering lunch. Like many times they feel like they got to be making sounds the entire time. So the person on the opposite side knows that they are still there. So the person gets there and goes, like just like making these strange sounds. They're like, give me a number. Give me a number. Five. Oh, no, you've changed it. Give me a 4. You know, I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, oh my goodness, man. And, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, we got to have this huge decision just to order lunch. You know, it's interesting as somebody who's at the drive-thru and has that kind of experience where they're like, you know, becoming totally stressed out at the moment that they've been called in their life to order lunch. Do you know why it is? Because you don't know what you want, man. If you know what you want, you order the food, you know, like, you know, it seems kind of silly, but I mean, honestly, things move faster if you just realize. And here's what I'm saying is some people live their entire life like in this focus. What does God want to go after it? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps. Not the aspirations, though they're wonderful. I saw in the little ending of different places, God's called you, man, hallelujah, great step. Now be focused in that step that God has for you and give it all you have. You know, when you see, as in this case, don't just take the now then and just hold these opportunities. Some people hold their opportunities waiting for this next big break. Because of kind of what I do in different things in ministry, what's interesting is I'll talk and I'll be able to preach to people at different stages of life. So this is for all inside the building, right? And as I do, I'll go and preach at a vacation Bible school, then I'll go a teen rally, then I might speak at a college or whatever. So individually, specifically get to speak at different things. Let me just show you my observation that I've noticed and let me help by God's grace with this tomorrow mentality that sometimes happens. Is that sometimes what happens is somebody, I go to the kids' vacation Bible school, whatever it is, and I'm like, hey guys, how are y'all? You know, you enjoying yourself? And all the kids are eating their freeze pops because that's just what you do at a vacation Bible school. And I'll be like, I'll ask the question, so exactly how old are you? And this little 8-year-old looking says, I am 8, but I'm almost 9, you know? And it's like, I go, cool, man, you know, you're almost 9 years old, and I'm almost double digits, Mr. Adrian, I'm almost double digits. And they'll express about how it is they're getting older. Then I talk to people who are 10 years old. They're coming and say, hey, Brother Adrian. I said, how old are you? And I was like, I'm almost a tween, Adrian. I'm almost a teenager. Next time you see me, I'm going to be in the youth group or whatever it be. I'm like, man, that's really cool. I talk to the teenagers and they're, you know, the young teens will be like, hey, Brother Adrian, yeah, I'm almost driving. My dad's taking me on some trips and stuff like that. And I'm driving different things. And I'm like, man, that is so neat. Then I ask the 15, 16-year-olds how they're doing. They're like, I'm doing good, but you know, I got a couple colleges scouting me out for my unbelievable talents, you know? And I'm like, wow, that's insane. And then I go to colleges and I speak at colleges. And when I go to college, what they'll do is they'll pull their phone out and they'll say, look, Brother Adrian, I only have 2,362 days and I'm done. I'm going to, not 2,000, that'd be a lot. But anyway, I got this many days and I'm done. I'm going to start my life, you know? It's crazy. And I go to the churches after those people have graduated. And I say, hey guys, how are you doing? Hey Adrian, how are you? Right now I'm at a job, but it's not the job. Like, it's a job to get me to the job that where I'm really heading to. So this is just kind of a holding pattern that I am in right now. And I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. I talk to people who have the job, right? We go out, we sit around, and everybody's talking like, yeah, I got the job, but you know what? They want me to do training for the job, so I'm going to travel across the country because I have the job now. And you know, you never can get too soon to get in retirement. So, you know, so they plan for retirement. Then I was interested. Interesting is I go to people's houses who have retired. So we sit around and the family, everybody's sitting around and they say, hey, come over here, Brother Adrian, sit down. Have you ever heard of Shutterfly? Yeah, let me show you this book. Oh, yeah, look at those pictures. Let me tell you how awesome it was during that time and how stupid it is now during this time right now. Do you know what I find? Everybody wants to be in a new stage of life. And what the sacrifice is the present. Instead of using the now we have, we're so focused on the other now that we never quite see that we ignore this stage. Don't have a tomorrow mentality. What God has given to you right now, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. And it says this, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Say this quickly, but he that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regard the clouds shall not reap. You know, it might not necessarily look like the situation is exactly where you want it exactly to be, but it's time that there's an aspect of faith as far as what it is God's asked you to do in that focus and to be able to go for it for him. You know, as you see all this then kind of go, you know, all played out here, I sometimes think of this. One of man's greatest pains in his life is regret. If you want to build a life of regret, have a tomorrow mentality. You know, this really doesn't happen all the time. If you're here, the teenagers, if you're here, I don't reference movies this much, but here we go again. All right, got to reference a quick one. Rudolph. Yeah. You remember the puppet animation of Rudolph? You know, the one like a Christmas Tom? Maybe you do. Oh, man, you don't. Wow. You know what Super Nintendo is, right? You know, okay. If you remember that, for those who may know and drive minivans like me, maybe you know what I'm talking about, is Rudolph goes and then he gets kicked off to the Island of Misfit Toys. You know that? You're on the Island of Misfit Toys, you know? And you have this Charlie in the Box instead of a Jack in the Box. You have this train that has square wheels. And it's all these misfit toys that are there. Sometimes I thought of it like this. The land of misfit dreams. The things that God could have done with my life had I not had a tomorrow mentality. I think any person inside the building, young people, that see your life right now, and there's not, I mean, I'm not saying you have no regrets or anything like that inside of your life, but you're at a really amazing point. And any person then would just say, I wonder what God could have done with my life had I not just continually to push back those opportunities. And instead of living in some other zone or some other stage of life and not living to this right now. My wife has her master's in speech and communications. And she taught oral interpretation of poetry. So with great trembling, I'm going to quote a poem, knowing she might look at live stream and then think to yourself, you're doing that wrong. And so it's a poem I've really always liked. It's called His Plan for Me. It goes like this. His Plan for Me by Martha Snell Nicholson. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been, had he had his way with me. And then I see how I blocked him here and I checked him there and I would not yield my will. Will there be grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief, he loves me still. He would have me rich, and I stand there poor, stripped of all but his grace. While my memory runs like a haunted thing down the paths I cannot retrace. And then my desolate heart will well nigh break. And with the tears that I cannot shed, I will cover my face with my empty hands, and I will bow my uncrowned head. Lord, of the years that are left of me, I give them to thy hand. Take me and break me, and mold me to the pattern thou hast planned. Devil's favorite word, tomorrow. I hope by the grace of God, whatever God asks for you, that full on all systems go. Live now. In closing, you know, there's nothing special about Adrian, but it'll be my honor if I prayed for y'all, and then I'm going to turn things over to Pastor to do the invitation how you see fit. And as I just pray, I know that some of y'all sought camp and different things. I know we know each other super well, but I do take names. Did y'all sign my book when I was at camp? I had a book. I'm trying to think. I have my book. I sign, put people's names in my book. I come on for a week, and I understand I'm only there for a week, but there are people in my book that I've been praying for, I guess, 13 years. Some are in ministry. Some, I have no idea where they are. It's my only little touch point to be able to pray. So, by the grace of God, I'll take the program after today. I'll write your name in my book. But before I do, I definitely want to pray for your church family. I hope that they pray for you too, that God will use you in an amazing way. We pray together for these young people. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for who you are. It is a privilege to be able to be called your servant. It's a privilege to be able to do your will. Lord, there are so we could sit all day and talk about all the challenges, Lord, that these young people will face. Lord, I don't believe it will draw forth things, Lord, that would be encouraging, but I pray, Lord, specifically, that their focus would be so much on you. Lord, an understanding and a reality that their God is so big. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this relationship they've had with you, Lord, is deep and is strong. And I pray, Lord, that they will not have a renter's mentality concerning their spiritual life, but an ownership mentality concerning the way, Lord, you direct their steps. Lord, whatever direction you lead them to be, Lord, I pray a sweet spirit upon them. Lord, I pray a testimony of grace and your love would be evident from them. Lord, may you allow them to be a light, Lord, that's just, Lord, undeniable that your hand is upon them. Lord, I pray, Lord, for something special. I don't know where you will lead them, but Lord, these young people will see people that nobody in the building will ever see. Lord, you will place them in places, Lord, that my heart can't even conceive. Lord, the opportunities that are combined inside of the first pew right here alone. But Lord, I pray more so than just the aspirational desires that they have, Lord, that they would have an amazing desire of walking with you and being passionate for the things of you. Lord, I pray that their lives would be such an example that the ones that are coming behind, little brothers and little sisters who are seeing their life, Lord, it'd be a testimony of your faithfulness, a testimony of your grace. Lord, I pray also for Beacon, that you would use this church, Lord, to be a support base. Lord, to be a place where they know, Lord, that they are being uplifted. Lord, if there are times that are come when they're weary in the faith, Lord, they're weary in whatever it is, they know the church family so has their back. And I pray, Father, that you would allow, Lord, just a spirit of camaraderie. Titus, Lord, chapter number 2 would be so evident in this place. Oh, Lord, I pray for the parents. You know, Lord, I'm thinking about me when I'm in that position. All so many conversations I want to have. Riding down the road or whatever it is. I don't know what's running through their mind. Lord, I pray that you would just give them just an abundance of grace. Abundance of strength and wisdom to navigate waters that are so new. Or may there be consideration and love on both sides. And I pray that you allow, or that everything you intend to happen to these young people's life, may you grant it. No good thing withhold from them. Oh, how we love you and we thank you. For it's in Christ and we certainly pray it all. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.